My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one, two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Mike, that reminds me, we forgot to order pizza.
Don't worry, Judy, we'll get that pizza. We're going to have a nice big gay pizza today. What would go on a gay pizza? Cock, I guess.
Oh, or labia.
Or labia.
Yeah, but we're gonna have Jesus Christ, I think, today.
All right.
Yeah, I'm feeling dairy. We have a special guest today.
Our very favorite guest.
She has been on the Mike and Judy Show more than any other guest.
She really is. Rachel is to us what Joan Rivers was to Johnny Carson.
And we will cut a bitch if she betrays us.
Yeah, it takes her own show on the show.
Going to CBS.
Or the Schmeritage Radio Network.
But Rachel has broken hearts everywhere throughout New York City by announcing her big move to Los Angeles.
Rachel, we hardly knew ye.
Oh, that isn't true. You've known me for a long time.
All right, let's hear it for our favorite author and playwright, Rachel Sugar.
Yay. Thank you. Rachel's book, Starstruck, takes place in the City of Angels.
It does.
Are you?
This is your destiny, Rachel.
It is. I know it is.
I know. I'm going to become a movie star. I'm going to become a 17-year-old movie star.
You've got to keep drinking those shakes at the drugstore.
Two more years and I'll be 17.
She's also our underage guest. Yeah, no. She's of age because we have her drinking alcohol.
Tell us more about your boob job.
I'm going to get the biggest boobs you've ever seen. But I think the new thing, Judy and I were just talking about this before the show. I think the new thing should be boobs that are in shapes. So you could have like nipples that are sort of semi-inflated in the shape of hearts or stars.
Stars of David. Jewish stars.
Stars of David. I was thinking also maybe you could make the boob itself a shape in the way that, you know, when you were a kid and you get like a balloon shape, like a heart or like
right.
a balloon, you know, like a long, or like a long... balloon
boob.
Animal boobies. My boobs are shaped like poodles.
I think
all balloon animals are poodles.
I think for like the Jewish housewives of Orange County, nice stars of David with diamond nipples.
With diamond nipples, that would be nice. I want horseshoes.
you could use them as
lucky.
Cup holders.
You
and
could.
Stuff
they,
too.
They're a very useful. They could be sort of handles, but I would want mine sort of attached to hinges too, so that you could like lift them up and then you can hang things from them if you need, like coats or ties.
Well, coats and ties.
It
should be machine
like,
guns.
Oh, I need to know where my glasses are. I'll just hang them from my breast.
Your breast. That's going to be a complicated
when
bra.
When your neck is full.
Of your glasses and your jewelry.
Yeah,
and
various things. Yeah, jewelry, necklaces.
And here we are, redefining décolletage here on the Mike and Judy Show.
It's the wave of the future.
So what are you going to do in L.A.? Like,
make it big.
I don't know.
You are going to make it big. That is.
I think mostly to start the same stuff that I'm doing here. I mean, one of the things that has sort of motivated the move was this kind of interest in turning Star Trek into a TV show. So I'm going to be working on the development of that and then hopefully on some other kind of TV projects. But at the same time, you know, I'll still be writing books and writing for all the same magazines and everything. I'll just be there because I... Do you want to hear what my real moment... Like, I really had, like I had a New York snap. Like, I just snapped, and I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Does it involve a homeless guy pooping in front of you?
No, that's happened many times. In fact, the night that gay marriage was legalized in the state of New York, I remember walking back on Waverly Street, like, because I went over to Christopher Street to kind of, like, celebrate. Like, everyone was celebrating, and I thought it'd be funny to go. And I was walking back, and I passed this restaurant, Blue Hill... Blue Hill, right?
Yeah,
is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's
Blue
in
Hill
the West
at
Village.
Stone Barns or right. Blue Stone or Blue Ivy at Barnstone, whatever.
It's a well-known place.
The Obamas ate there, and it's also where Ben proposed to me.
Aww.
And so I walked past, and I was like, oh my God, that's so sweet. We got married, and now all these other people get married, and love conquers all. And there was a guy sitting on the stoop, and I was like, he's probably thinking the same thing. And then I realized it was a homeless guy who was pooping right on the exact stoop where Ben had asked me to be his wife.
And that didn't break you. So what
that
broke
didn't break
you?
Me. That I thought was good. What broke
didn't
me?
Didn't I see that in Annie Hall?
It was something. It was a very Annie Hall kind of moment. And that was one of the moments where I was like, I love New York. But this was my like horrible, I hate New York moment. It was actually for the book party of Star Trek that just came out, you know, a couple months ago.
Available everywhere.
And I'd been so busy, you know, you get so like crazed in the run up to your book, and I'd sort of forgotten to double check if there was going to be like wine or what there was going to be at the launch party, which wasn't at a bar, it was just at a bookstore. And I talked to my publisher at Random House, and she's like, well, this is a YA novel, so we don't usually budget for alcohol. We'll be happy to buy you some cupcakes or something. And I was like, okay, but we need booze. Like, there's not going to be any young adults at this party. It's like 8 p.m. in Brooklyn on a Tuesday.
Judy and I are young adults.
Yeah, we're young adults, there. you're not under drinking age.
Judy stayed out till 1 a.m. the other
Only
night.
Only I am. Oh, my God.
Still reeling.
So I was like, whatever, fine. I'll fucking just go and buy my own fucking wine for my own party. So I was already, like, pissed off that I felt like just – I was just pissed because like, I thought, like, these provisions – I mean, whatever. It was fine. Like, it was my mistake. We had a – you know, it was my failure, my miscommunication.
Your failure to think a book
my
publisher failure. Would do anything.
Unlike our publishers who keep us swimming in rivers of booze.
Right. So I was disappointed in that. But I thought, okay, so fine. So I went to Trader Joe's, which is, like – honestly, I live in Stuyvesant Town, like sort of close to Avenue B, and Trader Joe's is like, what, it's like 4th Avenue or something, right? It's not that...
Yeah, it's between 3rd and 4th.
Yeah, it's not that far away. So I thought, okay, fine, I'll get a case of wine and then
It's a schlep.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a schlep. I was like, I'll get a case of wine and then I'll just hop in a cab and bring it home and then I'll bring it again. So I bought this case of wine. I had to buy, my own case of wine. And a case of wine is fucking heavy, you know? It's like, so I carried outside and I was like, oh, I'll just get a cab.
Yeah.
And I could not get a cab. So I keep thinking, well, I'll just carry it in another block. And like, maybe then I'll get a cab. And I was like carrying this case of wine and I like tried to put it down to rest for it. And there were just no cabs. And it became clearer and clearer that I was not going to get a cab. And I put it down and I scraped my hand all up, as I said, because it was so heavy. So like I'm dripping blood like from my hand and I couldn't get a cab and nobody stopped to help me. And it was also like I was traveling like 6 fucking blocks. And if I was just like, this is ridiculous. I am done. I am done. I am done with this bullshit.
A complete catastrophe.
This should not be a big deal. I should be able to go. I should have been able to buy 3 cases of wine and put them in the trunk of my fucking car and then drive half a mile home. I'm moving to L.A.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Your New York moment.
Sorry,
it came carrying
it out. You're not
buying wine for your publishing party, and that's finally what drove you out of town.
And not being able to get a goddamn cab.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's harsh. It's like Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah, it was. It was like Grapes of Wrath. That is like it's like the moment where Rose of Sharon fed that dying man with
the now, what would one of the princesses of Long Island have done?
They
wouldn't have written a fucking book.
They wouldn't have done that. Also, the thing with those girls is that they're this is why I'm not a princess, and this is like the biggest deficiency in my life of my non-princessiness, is that those girls are also fucking detail oriented. That none of them would have ever thought they would have been obsessing about, you know, the wine for their party like months in advance and the energy, because it's all about the trappings of it. It's not while I was writing the book, they would have already been planning the party. They would not have had this problem.
Daddy would have gotten them a wine sponsor.
Exactly.
And someone to write the book.
Yeah. And some of it also is just that I'm so cheap. That it would never occur, do you know what I mean? Like anything that would go. But yeah, they wouldn't have written the book and they would have been thinking about this years in advance. One thing I am always amazed about with all those Real Housewives and do envy them for is they all seem to be really good planners. Of like,
well, I think they
events,
have people to plan
things.
Those events.
Yeah, but
so.
They're all like really good packers, and their closets are really organized. Like, I don't
yeah,
have that
don't,
part. Like, I don't.
Luann is not organizing her own closet.
I know, but it all just. Looks
Which one is that? The Countess? I haven't watched that.
But I wouldn't even be able to tell someone else
like
how to
Jagger.
Do it. Do you know? Like, it wouldn't even occur to me like how it should be done. Like,
well, you
like,
hire
would,
an organizer to do that.
But then I would have to find the person to organize. Like, I'm not even organized enough to hire someone to organize.
I would have to be your princess consultant. I would tell you who to hire to do all these things.
I'm just missing that gene, the one that like makes everything really fancy for yourself.
Well, you're a Midwestern Jew. You're not the Long Island
princess. I haven't really seen much of the princesses.
And like I said, I'm extraordinarily cheap about certain things.
All I've seen of the Princesses of Long Island is the trailer, which fascinated me greatly. And, it, you know, cut a little close to the bone. Maybe that's why I'm trying to avoid it.
It is a little bit. I've never watched a show like one of those reality shows. I mean, I feel like you watch the New York one a little bit and you kind of get who they are, at least who they're trying to be. But I've never watched a show where I was like, oh, yeah, I know
well,
these
well, I
know
was
these
watching
girls.
This woman who was complaining. She's she's you know, 40-ish or, you know, about to hit the wrong side of 40.
No, she's so, 27. None of those girls are over 30.
Are you sure they look
really?
Like, really?
Yeah, the oldest one just turned 30, and they're all freaking out that they're not married.
Well, they're not married. Well, I'm telling you, she look like,
well, obviously,
she's 30. She hit 30 doing 110.
I don't know. I don't have any of these problems.
But she's saying she's not married.
Like,
she wants to find a man like her father.
You did the right thing, honey.
She wanted to find a man like her father. She was, you know, who's strong and capable and independent.
Yeah, her tiny little father
and then
got a pedicure.
Exactly. Then the camera pulls back and her father's in the chair next to him getting his toes painted.
I'm sure he's a good provider.
Yeah.
I can't believe I've missed this latest Andy Cohen debacle.
It's unbelievable. I kind of don't believe that they let them do it. Because the thing, too, is that all these girls, they sort of relate everything back to being Jewish. Like, oh, well, we still live at home, but it's a Jewish thing. And it's like, no, it's not.
It's not.
No, don't be ridiculous.
Jews live on their own.
It's a spoiled loser thing.
No,
girls I grew up with live with their parents. If you were a real Jap, you'd get your father to fucking rent you a $5,000 a month apartment in the West Village that you don't pay for.
Like those Shahs of Sunset girls.
Yeah, correct.
They know what they're doing.
They don't live with their parents.
No, and they don't pay for them either.
See, I'm so out of the loop on this reality show business. Of Sunset?
I find the Shahs of Sunset inspirational, though, because some of them are Muslim and some of them are Jewish, and they get along very well.
Yeah.
They're like the Shah of Iran?
Yeah, like the Shah of Iran.
Okay.
And they're all like the Persian diaspora in LA, but some of them are Muslim and some are Jewish, but they're all friends with each other. And
the Persian diaspora.
And I find that hopeful. I find it a hopeful sign.
Well, they are universally awful, though. Muslim, Jew alike, they're awful.
Well, if there's anything that we have in common, perhaps we can finally come together in our mutual awfulness. Just be like, we have to get along because no one else wants us.
They won't tolerate our bullshit.
So what time is Cher playing today?
We're both drinking, Mike.
Yeah, happy Pride!
Happy Pride!
Who do I got to blow to get a ticket to see Cher?
Honey, I don't know.
You have to blow Jason Gould, Barbara Streisand's son.
Is he gay?
He is a gay.
Oh,
isn't that nice
really
for
cute.
Her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aw. I just watched...
He played her son in The Prince of Tides.
Right.
This is turning into quite the coffee clutch today. This is I feel like I'm the Andy Cohen of this thing with you.
We need to fight. If it were a True Housewives reunion,
we'd be Real Housewives here getting sloshed on our show.
Yeah.
Well, it's good.
You copied me, Rachel. You copied me.
How did I copy you?
No, that's just what they always
fight
about.
Oh, they copied me. Oh, yeah.
When you fought in first grade.
I thought that was a little inappropriate. Everything's always... someone acted inappropriately. All of you are constantly inappropriate. You're all 70 years old and you're wearing, like, bikinis. This thing.
Those leathery
bellies.
Not that
there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Like Ramona and her monokinis.
Her monokinis, yeah.
Oh, good Lord. How many housewives are actually named Rachel? Like a lot of them, I think.
I don't think there are any named Rachel.
No? No, there have to be.
No.
This shows you what I know.
No one's named Rachel that's that age. I mean, I was thinking maybe probably one of the princesses of Long Island would be named one, but she's... Because Rachel's one of those names that, like, no one was named until, like, 1978. And then it was, like, became a really popular name all of a sudden. So I rarely meet Rachels that are, like, older than about 35.
I know some old Rachel.
Who are willing to cop to it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, the Real Housewives don't cop to their real ages.
No, but was it Jill Zarin was saying she was, at one point, she was like 41 or something.
And I just turned 13. I think I'm going to get my period for the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Jill Zarin. You're well preserved, but you are
it's
well
weird,
over 50.
It's weird when they do that whole thing and you realize that you're then telling me that you had your daughter when you were 15.
Right.
But I'm supposed to think you're so classy and fancy.
I had a friend whose older sister lied about her age. So it became, at one point, her my friend, the younger sister, became older than her older sister, and that was when it really pissed her off.
The best lying about age that I've ever seen in a public way is, I don't know if you've read Zsa Zsa Gabor's memoir.
Not yet.
It's wonderful. But the thing about it that's amazing is that she starts the book when she's 15 years old and she marries a Turkish diplomat who she never sleeps with and then subsequently loses her virginity to Ataturk, who had been stalking her apparently and planted a gift for her in an antique store she frequented. It's such bullshit. Like, it's a complete...
Wow.
And then she had to, like, follow. It was like a treasure hunt to, like, Ataturk's naked body. Like, she, like, got these emeralds and then she had to go through this courtyard and then there was, like, a horse and she got on the horse and the horse, like, a white stallion that, like, led her through, like, a grove of cypress
Did
trees.
Did Barbara Cartland to, like, ghostwrite
it's
this?
It's completely insane. But as you read it, you realize... In the book, Zsa Zsa Gabor is 15 for about 10 years. Because she's like, and then it didn't work out and we got divorced. And then I married Conrad Hilton in 1954 when I was 15. And it's like, you were 15 in 1935. When you married the first guy, like, it's so crazy.
Well, speaking of romance.
And Zsa Zsa Gabor.
And from Zsa Zsa to Gigi. How do you like that for a segue, McGuire?
Oh, I'm not a fan, I have to say.
But we are celebrating, remembering.
Anyway. Gigi's my favorite movie. You don't like
this
Gigi?
This is very...
Oh, Gigi Allen.
Gigi Allen. And,
Yeah, no. This is the
same difference.
A remake of Gigi starring Gigi Allen. Gigi.
Bring this to Hollywood. We're bringing this to Hollywood, Rachel.
You were pooping on my face.
We're going to make hundreds. All right, we're remembering
I licked your festering leg brace. Yes, don't you see?
All right, I can't.
It's going to be a rock.
I can't follow that.
I'm going to write this song.
But I'm going to try. We're going to take a quick break. It's the Mike and Judy Show. This is a number I wrote for my old pal, Gigi Allen. It's called Gigi Allen Died Last Night. We'll see you in a minute.
I'm sorry.
Gigi Allen died last night. Gigi Allen was a friend of mine. When I heard the news, I was not surprised. The only shock was that he lasted as long as he did. He was 36 years old. Yeah, Gigi, the bizarro world, Liberty Valance, Jimmy Stewart in reverse. A man whose reality scorched the myth. Stories of him being beaten up by fans, by cops, by rednecks who came to his gigs just to kick the shit out of him were legends. But no matter how many tales were told of success, the violence, the bloodshed, the onstage suck jobs, they could never approach the very real white knuckle fear and bad vibes that were the byproducts of his shows. Yeah, playing with Gigi, I had my own life threatened many times. One night in Raleigh, some pissed off rap boys followed us to our motel with baseball bats. And you know you were about to enter a world of pain when Gigi Allen is the one calling the cops. Beyond the bluster and beyond the broken glass, Gigi adhered to a cogent philosophy of rock and roll. Rock and roll is creator, rock and roll is destroyer. He was everything my power warned you about. Fuck phonies like Lou Reed. Gigi Allen was the rock and roll animal, and he believed it with his heart, and he believed it with his soul. And despite his constant threats to kill himself on stage, man, he reveled in it. He loved it. He loved being Gigi Allen. Yeah, Gigi. Last time I saw him was maybe a year before he died. I was hosting a rooftop barbecue. It was a pleasant afternoon. Gigi and I were wearing aprons and silly chef hats, flipping burgers and drinking beer. He asked me if I wanted to be on the guest list for the show the next day, and I told him I wasn't going. We're having a nice time, I said. It was really good to see you. Why would I want to ruin that vibe by going to one of your gigs? He laughed. Yeah, he told me, you're probably right.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike Edison.
That was romantic, don't you think?
That was very romantic.
Speaking of romance, we have a special guest on the line.
Are you there, Ben?
It's husband of Rachel.
I am. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Getting ready for your big move? Going to jet out to La La Land?
Something like that. You know, I'm kind of just getting all the boxes ready and, yeah, looking at the space and thinking, oh, my God, how come we're so small when we moved in? How much space in? How much stuff in?
Well, that was good of you to leave Ben home packing while you're here having cocktails with Judy
McGuire. It was all packed. Everything was packed. He told me to go. It was just some sweeping, and the movers just had a few more things to move out.
So you guys are
pretty... He's wonderful, and obviously he's everything. Yay, very supportive.
She owes you big, Ben.
So you guys are traveling with your cat on the plane?
Yeah.
Boy, I couldn't get my cat like to the doctor's office, let alone to another state. How does this happen?
I don't know.
Does he have a deluxe carrier?
Well, I think I'm going to get her a new one. I'm going to get her one of the like soft-sided ones that I think will be... Because she has a hard one for like...
Does she have her own seat?
No. She goes under the seat.
Yeah, she's a carry-on.
Yeah, she's a carry-on.
She's going to be very resentful.
She's going to poop on your pillow.
If we're lucky.
Yeah, we'll see.
So what are you looking forward to most about L.A.?
Me?
Yes.
Me,
besides Rachel's big new boobs.
The weather, mostly.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think New York's been an interesting experience from, you know, someone who grew up in South Africa with a lot more just space, like living space, you know, and having come here from Amsterdam, you know, which is also pretty small. It's hasn't been a terrible adjustment, but going out to L.A. and, you know, kind of being close to the weather that I grew up with and, you know, living space, it's a little bit more generous, I think, is probably my two most exciting things right now.
You are serious. He's a serious person.
I understand you're getting a big motorcycle when you get out to L.A., Ben.
Yeah, I was thinking about a Triumph Bonneville. But, you know, I had a scooter in New York, which sounds insane until you think about the fact that, you know, everyone around you drives 24/7. I mean, they may, you know, have funny accents and swear a lot and, you know, shoot their horns a lot, but they can actually drive. I don't know. After being on the highways in L.A., I got really scared. So if
you
I can get a Triumph with maybe, like, armor plating glass, huh? Armor plating glass, what?
Yeah, but you're going to look so good on the back of that chopper with your heart-shaped boobs.
Fuck no, I'm not going on the back of that thing. Boobs are... Well, maybe the boobs can... Well, the boobs will add as airbags. They'll be...
Right.
Ben got nervous with me driving, didn't you, honey?
I got very nervous with you driving.
You don't like being in the car with me driving.
You made me very scared.
So she's not a great driver?
He told me I would kill or be killed.
But there's
all
those traffic.
I kind of had to, after a while, put on one of those, you know, those airline, like, eye masks to sleep. So I just wouldn't be able to see anything. And then that kind of calmed me down when I was driving with Rachel.
He got upset when I revealed that I didn't actually know what the side mirrors were for.
Maybe you should.
But
maybe
I figured it out.
For Rachel's next birthday gift.
And they're on the job like the president.
You can give her driving lessons. Like, buy her driving lessons.
That's a terrible thing.
That'll be so good for your relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Better a stranger teacher than you.
I know how to drive.
Be driving everywhere.
I know
how. So, Judy, you spent much time in Los Angeles?
No, but I like it.
I don't think I could live there. I mean, I really enjoy it every time I'm there for, you know, a short dose, a few days. I don't think I could dig it at all. So
that's because you're not as fabulous as me, Mike. I could totally live there.
Oh, I'm fabulous. Especially on Pride Day. I'm feeling very fabulous today.
Especially now that you're getting your big new boobs. They're shaped like shamrocks.
Shamrocks?
No, those are mine.
That's McGuire's getting the shamrocks. I'm getting the David stars.
Yeah, David's. Yeah, I want horseshoes, as we discussed earlier.
Because you're feeling lucky.
Lucky.
Well, Ben, if you want to come up to Roberta's and have drinks with us once you get rid of those movers, please do.
And what kind of boobs are you getting, Ben?
Are you getting big fake boobs?
I was thinking double D's.
Well, that's
you think you can get some like, sort of like anti-personnel device?
You know,
sort of like some anti-
that I think I would look awesome in, so why not, you know?
I like that Ben just wants sort of like real, like lifelike. Lifelike large breasts.
Because men think that we just play with them all the time.
But I think that
Oh my God, if I
right? Like, what
would I would never leave the house.
Yeah. I know, because they don't get that it's just like your nose or something. They're just there. Oh, let me just hear stroking my own arms.
So, Rachel, do you think it's like would be cheating to have sex with a robot?
Oh, Jesus.
No idea. But I don't. Ben, do you have a thought? How is it different than having sex
with a robot? Ben probably thinks about this all the time.
Do you feel like it's different than having, like, using a vibrator?
See, I like the direction you're going here. One automated animated device to the next. Well,
just realize
what do you mean,
being...
like a real doll with a flashlight inserted in her special place?
Yes, and she can talk and tell you how handsome you are and how big you are.
Amazing. I love it already.
So I guess the answer is no.
I tell you you're handsome all the time. I just don't have sex with you that much. But
well, now you're moving to LA.
Yeah, you're not a super hot robot from the future, but you're all super hot. So if you do, you do it, okay.
Thank you.
You are super hot.
You're sweet.
Well, Rachel's going to be 17 soon.
I know, very soon. I think it wouldn't... I feel like I wouldn't think it was cheating with a robot, because to me that just seems like a piece of, you know, it's an accessory. It's a
don't buy into Mike Edison's ploy, Rachel. He's using this as an argument fodder for a special friend of his.
Why? So I can.
I guess it would depend on how you felt about the robot. Do you love her? Are you in a relationship with the robot, or is she just? Is it just like sticking a pencil up your butt or something? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, just totally cheating.
Like, is it just like a thing?
I think it also comes down to, does she look like anyone, you know, and does she have a name?
Yeah, does she look like your ex-girlfriend?
Turn off Marissa.
No, I have the hots for the Jetsons maid, Rosie.
Oh, well, she really looks like a robot.
Yeah, I know. See, so that can't be cheating. It's like screwing a pinball machine.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
But what about a glory hole, then?
No. Well, no. I mean, seriously, I mean, what we came to.
But a glory hole has a human
to.
Piece in it.
Well, what if the robot looked like The Rock?
I have no problem cheating on my boyfriend with a robot who looks like The Rock. Or even Steve Buscemi robot.
Steve Buscemi.
What happens to the female Twitter robot?
Jeez, I think I would do the Steve Buscemi robot.
You send pictures of your wanger in underpants.
What?
What happens if she's a Twitter robot and she has a persona on Twitter and a profile pic, and you send her pictures of your wanger and you happen to be someone trying to become the mayor of New York? What happens then?
Well, that just means you're dumb, because you thought if you knew you were sending your picture to a robot, I don't think that's cheating, but if you thought it was a person and they were masquerading as
I agree.
You know?
I have to say, perhaps you agree with me. I find Anthony Weiner so much like creepier and more upsetting than like Elliot Spitzer, which to me makes complete sense.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I agree.
I would happily vote for Elliot Spitzer for mayor, but Anthony Weiner, I'm just like, what the fuck? That's gross.
Yeah. I mean, let's just put it out there. Neither of them are laudable people. I'm appalled by both of them, you know, and they both deserve to be beaten.
Who would you rather have sex with?
Myself. I mean, I used to think Anthony Weiner was kind of hot, because I like scrawny Jewish guys.
But... Yeah, he looks solid out.
You like scrawny Jewish guys, which is why you're going out with a hulking Greek.
I deviate from type.
Can we say something nice about Bill de Blasio and hope that Anthony Weiner doesn't get in?
You guys are leaving before you can even vote, traitors.
I'm going to vote absentee.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I feel I'm entitled.
You Jews and your entitlement.
So far, I'm for Bill de Blasio most of all.
Yeah, me too. Let's endorse him officially.
Okay, the Mike and Judy.
Should we have a meeting or something? Okay, we can. Look, de Blasio's got to step up, because it is an awful lot of fucking people they got running out there. I mean, obviously, Quinn, I mean, I don't know, a single person who wants to vote for her. Okay, when you're the one gay candidate, there's a group called Queers.
Cynthia Nixon doesn't even want her. She's another redheaded lesbian who doesn't want to vote for Christine Quinn.
Yeah.
She could play her. She'd be cast to play her in the movie on Lifetime. Like, immediately, just like that. And she doesn't want to play her. Who are you talking to?
Ben, you're on the radio.
I'm trying to pay the moving costs. I may need to get off the call.
All right. Okay. Well, if you want to come on up. It's a quick ride.
Am I going to have a heart attack?
Just hop on the back of that Harley of yours.
Am I going to have a heart attack?
No, you're not going to know about it. Okay. Good luck, Ben.
Moving is stress. This is like a high stress zone for couples, I'd imagine. Moving, it's got to be right up there, like right after going on vacation.
Or having your husband have sex with a robot.
Or your girlfriend with a robot that's shaped like The Rock.
I think Spiro would get over that. If I was going to pick
a
robot
shaped like anybody,
it would be Eric from True Blood, whose name I can never say.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Here we go.
He's hotter than The Rock.
Alexander Skarsgård.
I'll tell you what, Judy. You can pick this up.
Salivating.
You can pick this up next week without me.
Because Mike's going to Italy.
Abbo Danza. You know,
buona notte.
I'm going for the gelato. I'm going for the taste, but I'm going to stay for the flavor, yo.
No. Yeah. So next week, it's the first show
of Mike's leg of replicating the Eat, Pray, Love projector. He's spending 3 months in Italy, then 3 months in India praying,
doing yoga.
Eat, Pray, Mike.
Eat, Pray, Mike.
I think it's got a nice ring to it.
Mike, that should be your book.
Get my agent on the phone. Jane, I've got it. We're going to make hundreds. So, Judy, have a wonderful time. Without me, I will be tuned in.
No, you won't. You'll be eating cheese, having sex, drinking wine.
You're going to have pizza in Naples. Well, then you'll meet a nice Brazilian in Bali.
I'll import him. I've always wanted to be abroad. And that's it. That's my gay pride joke for today.
Yeah. All right, well...
Well, I will miss you desperately. I'm bereft already. I'm having separation anxiety.
And I will just be sitting here in a pool of my own envy. Because you're going to have a great time.
You are going to have the best time.
Yeah, you will.
Ciao, Bellas. And Rachel, we wish you and Ben the best of luck. But we're going to see you, right?
Yeah.
You're a favorite. You know?
I'll be back. I think I'm back in August and then again in October. So don't worry so much.
All right.
Bi-coastal.
All right, well, that's my gay pride.
As I say, there you go.
So the last June Mike and Judy show is over.
All right, that's it. Episode 94. I'll see you guys in August. Judy, have a swell time. Happy Pride Day, everybody.
Yay.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.